You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Nathaniel Farrell. Nathaniel, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Nathaniel, let's talk about what you're working on at the moment. What are you working on?
I am right now trying to recover from a new publication that just came out this month, Lost Horizon. So having finished with that, my project now is to try to write poetry about the home. The book that I just published was a lot about travel and about places in between and the outdoors or the interstate or the mall, places that you share with other people, or places that are alienating, like the airport. And so now I wanted to write poetry about what's happening in my house.
Let's talk a little bit about the book you're recovering from, as you said. That's Lost Horizon. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah. Ugly Duckling, 2019.
Well, that's exciting, and congratulations on that coming out. I know that you're going to read an excerpt from that, but tell me a little bit about the book, because the book is one poem, essentially, isn't it?
Yes, it is one long poem, one stanza, and I tried my best to just create a free fall through the lines, and in a lot of ways wanted to undo the short lyric poems that were typical of my first book.
And I know you're about to read, so I want to let you, but also in terms of poetry and publishing, it's always so interesting to me, and because, you know, in the art world, I interview a lot of artists, different kinds of writers. Artists hope that their work will sell or be funded at some point, even if their work is fairly non-commercial. Writers, prose, are selling books that they hope to be successful. Many of them are, many of them aren't. Poets seem to be in another category altogether. And just correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't have that much knowledge about the world of poetry and publishing. But you published this book. You published more than one book. As a poet, what does that mean? You know, it seems to me that of course, you need to publish to get the work out there. But a poet doesn't think of this could be the book that's a breakout hit, right? It's almost like the way a dancer's career must be. Or correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, maybe we ought not to think that way, but I confess I think I still do. I do think that the difference between, you know, poets who are just starting out and trying to get things, their first book published, and the sort of most well-known, well-published, widely read poet in the country, I think the difference between them is certainly smaller than the difference between the MFA student and the multi-million dollar auction house living artist. That's for sure. And then if we add musicians to that, I think the difference becomes exponential. So we are, I think, the more egalitarian, I suppose, in the rewards, in the way the rewards are distributed. But I definitely think in terms of writing this thing and wanting people to read it and wanting it to find its way to other people, I believe that if we were I like to believe that if we were able to put poetry in the hands of more people would seek it out.
Okay. With that, let's hear an excerpt from Lost Horizon, please.
Thank you. Yes, I'm start here. The sound of a clamshell popped open in the video store aisle. Sky-shaped ceiling fans. Outer space dangling in the spores of a Bradford pear. Iridescent land masses. Weather patterns. Sea level. Tyvek stapled to the frame. The magnolia unwhirled. Oak tree catkins. Ants over earthworms half dead on the sidewalk until nothing's left but a brittle brown curl. Radio antennas pump on the horizon, signal some new story in the channel locks. I walked the dog to the gazebo and back. Delicate hair color, spring break, online dating portfolios, family-friendly surfing, emergency alert systems, safe harbor hours, the wax is hottest around the wick. The building I live in has brick the color of the skin on a pop blister, leftovers crust up on the countertops, a dried spill on a placemat of the world, seaside wandering up and down its coast traced with a forked tine or the bumping of the brigandine against landfall, a phone number in a ballpoint on a soft piece of forearm, or these lashes, weapons swung against the unkissed regions of selfhood, barge lowered, horses tethered, mountains turned to silk among the shells, the ocean's little toes wiggle in the surf. A ground screw tends the unplanted hill. Birds perch on headstones like any other stones. Marble gets softer with weather. Veins of quartz bulge out around letters growing shallow. And so it goes on from there, but that's one dip.
Thank you. So to talk about the length of that a little bit too, which is unusual. I mean, I have quite a few books of poetry and very few that I can think of that are one poem. How did you decide to do that? And is that an epic poem? What is that called?
That's a great question. And I think that the idea of an epic poem appealed to me, and I tried to write one at one point, and this is more or less this emerged out of the trash pile of things that I would cut from that attempted epic poem, which is, you know, epic because it wants to tell a story about a hero. And I racked my brain trying to figure out how to do that, and this work has no hero, and it doesn't often have an eye either. So I think that the idea of the long poem has always appealed to me. The my previous book, Newcomer, even though it was broken up, was still trying to tell one story in one setting. I haven't been much for the lyric in the sense that it wanting to share my feelings, I guess, wanting to share my feelings. I haven't wanted to do that in poetry. I trust that my feelings will come through in whatever images or whatever I choose to observe. So the long poem, though, really came about through an editing process. And that's my favorite thing to do. I love to generate material and then listen to that material and try to figure out what it wants to be, what its commonalities are, what its through lines are, what its themes are, and then spend a while editing and adding to it and building into it. So that's how this long poem came to be, but I do think it's uncommon. I'm, and it was hard. It took 5 years for sure.
Wow. Well, congratulations. That does sound like something to recover from. And before we go into the next one, when you talk about recovering from something like that, because that's a tremendous amount of work, 5 years, now it's out. It's been, you know, kind of birthed in a way. It's in your hands. What does a recovery from that feel like? What does that mean to you?
I think recovering from the publication means trying to unlearn the ways of thinking and the ways of writing and sometimes the ways of observing that helped you through that project. that helped me through this project, and trying to open yourself up to a new set of observations or material that will help me through the next project. So it's an unlearning process, I think. But at the same time, the recovery is odd because you're still, you know, now that it's out in the world, you have to be responsible for it in a new way, and try to steward its steward copies of this book through the world, and hope that it finds hope that they find good homes. So the recovery is that feeling, I think, of, it's like having had a limb fall asleep. You get up and you feel uncertain and you're wobbling around, and to other people, and the work that you do or the steps that you take are going to look awkward to other people, I think. So that recovery does involve closing in, I think, in a certain way, because I think the work that I tend to write right after having published something often tends to be the worst work. So right. I'm going to hide that a little bit, but you still have to do it.
Right. So you're going to read something else for us. Is this, would you say this work is part of that recovery process? It doesn't have to fold into it, but is that what this work is, or was it done at a different time?
This, I think, is part of that recovery process. It was the first, some of the lines are the first that I noticed, okay, this is a different kind of line, or this is a different kind of theme, but it does still feel awkward and uncertain and raw. I'm going to read now from, it's loosely called, the working title is Lightning Slugs Motherfuck Time, which probably won't be the published title, but I don't know why. LSMFT, I think it comes from the Lucky Strikes, Lucky Strike mild flavored tobacco, I think. But I was trying to think of, you know, what this might otherwise stand for. So the piece that I'm going to read just a little bit, I think, from it, and this will be a surprise for me because I haven't delved back this far in the project in a while. I fiddle around on the phone trying to find the new band you like. The downstairs neighbor comes home and turns the bass down. The sounds of conversation come from below. I know he can hear us sometimes. Once when he was drunk, he said he could, which was an uncomfortable compliment. Like when the zombie reveals themselves, their blank white black eyes, or the soundtrack fades out after the fight scene, and it feels strange to move from the screen to the perspective of your own solid body. How dangerous it is to forget the feel of wool, or to worry too much about fingerprints on the screen or the lenses. The rain hangs gem-like from one of the angled bay windows and reminds me of Tinkerbell and how we would clap for her to live, but how the odd drop breaks, pose and slips to the sash, leaves the glow behind to wait for a new rain, and our brothers and sisters pound their fists and look around at all the moments, and sometimes the soul. My grandmother was a widower decades before she had to go to the nursing home where she lived for years. She choked on a cream puff at the window. My mother was the last person to visit her. Success of aspiration versus alien spores streaming in the kilobytes. I am often angry and afraid, more angry and afraid than I am happy. I unplug the wrong things. I am confused by the rules of coolness. I rub my eye under my glasses. I think about how to rearrange my body to be more appealing, less uncomfortable to look at in ill-fit clothes from Macy's, mostly accept expensive gifts from my ex-wife's family, or to feel less uncomfortable being looked at or photographed. Memory sometimes tastes like cold rice. The leaks in the plaster turn brown. The toilet has started running again. I shop online as a way to reward myself for having a dead-end job. Cookbooks have recipes for how to make the food we like. Homeowners have apps that will tell you when to clean the gutters, if we ever have a home of our own, with a garage and a yard and trees that fill the gutters. That's just a little bit from there.
Tell me a little bit more about that one. So you said that's a little bit from there, meaning a little bit from the poetry about home?
Yes, yeah, poetry about home. And I think it was a little surprise to read. I have definitely not shared this work before and normally don't, again, write about myself or write about my feelings. And I think that that was part of the project of trying to create, not only be about home, but also be more about myself and the relationships that I have with others. So it did feel a little odd to be in more of a confessional mode.
I like that. It's a very, very beautiful poem. You know, it's one of those poems where I feel like it was almost written for me or by me, and as crazy as it sounds, but you read something and it feels sort of like almost like you can possess it or something. I don't know what that's called or if that's a common feeling, but do you know what I mean? That feeling where you read something and you almost feel like, oh, you could have written that, and of course you can't, but it's a way of relating to something kind of strongly.
I thank you so much. That's I think one of the highest compliments that I could ask for. I think that I do think that's one of the finding things in common. I mean, I think and looking for those things in our own lives is, and sharing them with others can. I think that when you say I almost as if I could have read it, it's because those are ways of being that we have in common. And most of the time I think, and this isn't maybe true across the board, but I respond to poetry that way, that leaves room for me in it, as opposed to poems that necessarily try to give me I think a lot of art does this, and not just poetry, but we tend to focus on what makes us different because we believe that we want to be different. We want to be individuals. We want to set ourselves apart, you know. But the odd part is that the politics of all of that, of trying to set yourself apart, doesn't to me correspond with the politics or the ethics of the way that I would like to be in the world.
Mm. Yeah, that's so true. And I know you're going to read one more, but to talk a little bit about the idea of home, which you also mentioned in the poem, that has such a different meaning for so many people, and also the idea of home often seems like a house we think of, or I think mm-hmm. of, and you kind of reference that in the gutters, you know, owning the whole building. Are you in an apartment now or a house when writing these?
It's funny to ask. This was all written in an apartment that we were renting, but I am now sitting in a home that we just bought. Jessica Barron, my partner and myself, we just bought a home here in St. Louis, and it's a 1-in-3 row houses. It's an 1887 house. I was just up on the roof looking into the gutters, and you have to call the city to have them trim the trees and things like that. And it does feel different. I don't know if it feels more at home yet or not. We haven't quite moved in yet. We're still doing it. It is really nice to be able to put work into a space and believe that you're going to be able to enjoy it. But this is a completely new experience to me. I wonder how it's going to shape the poem. But the home ownership is also, you know, it's the having gone through the financing of, you know, of all of this stuff is and the laws that are involved in homeownership is, that's something I don't think I would have expected. And if somebody would have tried to tell me how complicated it was, I probably wouldn't have believed them.
So I'd love to hear one more. I know you have one more. And is it also from the idea of poetry about home?
Let's see. I think that I'd like to read a little bit more from Lost Horizon.
Okay.
If that's all right.
That sounds fine.
Okay. Let's get back to the... this is interesting. Okay. Yes. I'm going to read... just jump into this moment, which I think is maybe in Lost Horizon, was a moment where the idea of writing about home was foreshadowed. I see commonality between it and what I'm trying to write now. An empty box of tea bags. Others in their own insomnias, other insects around other lights, other drops caught in other screen doors, other wood wet under the porch. The dog circles the spot it sits in. The fact that a human touch is not only a touch among humans. Pieces of acorn trapped indoors. The straw in the new broom is a greener hue. Paint rubs off the action fingers lost a yard over. Paint flecks off bricks. Snow through the screens spackles the porch furniture. How amazing the damage a pure heart can do. Tools rust in the shed the color of, in the cold ivory arms of winter ivy. Childless witches and evil mothers, unwelcome suitors, psychiatrist appointments. Winter chews its frozen grasses like gum falls apart when it's chewed too long. A featureless lump of earth, its boneless tone in the ground below this. Maybe it's the damage that holds us together. Fall hazard, entrapment, engulfment hazard, grain bridge collapse, the spare sound of a logger's mallet struck against a tree with heart rot, a multitude of hearts rot in the echo, ring to ring. My avatar in the poem within the poem is hollow, shelved with bracket fungi, tongue, beard, lip, tongue hanging from a flowery branch, scooping shade from residential streets or grassy banks. I'll stop there.
Thank you. Thank you so much. There's another question I want to ask you, of course, about reading, but just to ask you one more mm-hmm. thing about this. As you're writing these poems now, poetry about home, do they just eventually get assembled into a book? I mean, or how do you think in terms of moving toward next publication? Is it kind of like the way a musician works? They make so many songs and now will they have an album? Or, I mean, I guess musicians can also work in a structure, like there's a concept for the album. How when you're making individual poems now, does that foreshadow or begin to design the next book?
I think that it's more now about gathering raw materials. And then my impulse, of course, is to try to do, to repeat what I've done, because I like what I've done. Now the idea is that it would just, again, be a long poem. But I have to acknowledge that might not be the right structure for the material. It really depends. So I am kind of thematically working on it and then trying to train myself. I think most of it is about training yourself in observation. Trying to allow yourself to, you know, think about how oatmeal sticks to a pan, or how hard it is to get off the spoon, you know, trying to attune yourself to, you know, how much your plants have grown over the course of, you know, a year. Where do they brown? Where do they curl? And why? Do they tilt towards the sun? And you can see that. And you can't try to, I mean, you could try to mess with them and turn them around to try to get them to grow straight, but that's not how we work. So why should we make plants try to do that?
So the gathering of raw materials, yeah, that's a good way to put it. And I'm so glad you talked about that kind of observing. Let me ask you one more question. What are you reading now? I'm always curious what everyone's reading.
I right now am reading Stephen Gardner's A Perfect Storm, his book on climate change and the ethics and moral hazards of climate change and the different types of solutions. I'm reading it. I care and think about it quite a bit. I also teach, so it's part of a curriculum for first year composition students, and that's what I'm currently reading now. I'm not reading any poetry at the moment, though.
I want to thank you so much, Nathaniel, for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, likewise.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.